Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
I'm John Batchelor with Michael Yan of Patreon.com. He is in Tapachula, Mexico. He's traveled there via Panama City, on to Cancun, on to San Cristobal, on to Tapachula. Tapachula, as Michael has described to me, is the southernmost Mexican city, the entry point for the migrants who have come through the Darien Gap. And through the Darien Gap, they're then bused to Costa Rica and on north till they cross into Mexico. Now, Michael, what have you discovered in Tapachula about the migrants? Is the town full of migrants?
It is, but they said it was a lot more full in January after the inauguration. They said they were sleeping everywhere, all over the ground. We don't see any sleeping on the ground now, but there's migrants all around me right now, especially because it's raining and they all came in from the rain and were in an outdoor restaurant. And so, yeah, there's many migrants from Africa and Haiti and Cuba. But in January, they said the town was quite full. And as soon as the inauguration happened, they just emptied out north and the town was empty for a short time. And then it started to fill back up again as more people started to flood up from the south. And that's what's happening now. So it's been filling up as people get stuck here for a while, have to do their paperwork, and then they head north through Mexico. But once you get through here, it's a free shot to the U.S. border.
Right. Well, it's, you got some miles to travel. Now, you tell me that you've learned something about how the Cubans manage the Darien Gap without being beat up with their feet cut up and being, and dealing with marauders. What have you learned about the Cuban journey north?
Yeah, interestingly, at this restaurant we're at right now, avoiding the rain, our waitress is from Cuba. She was just in Bajo Chiquito, which is the village I've been reporting from and we've been on your show many times about. She was just there 6 weeks ago. So she came through with her husband. She's 21 and had come through Nicocli in Colombia, the same place we went, by boat. And then instead of going through the long Darien route where about 10% die going through, they paid an extra $450 and took a boat ride and bypassed all of the hard part and only had to walk 2.5 days. And then the part that they walked, they paid $450. They did not get robbed. Nothing got stolen from them, although she said she lost her phone and other things because they had to swim a river. And she said the river was very, very dangerous. But everybody with her group actually survived because they took the easy route. They slept outside but not on the ground because they had the bamboo platforms that I often sleep on in the jungles. They don't have walls, but they have thatched roofs, and it's actually quite comfortable. You can hear it's a little windy. I'm sorry about that.
All right, so they traversed the Darien Gap. That would explain that mystery we've been pursuing for some weeks about the Cubans who arrived with children and were very gleeful about being in Panama, but we couldn't understand why their feet weren't cut up and why they weren't exhausted as the Haitians were. It's because they had the money to do the short circuit. Although, Michael, I have to say, 2.5 days in the Darien Gap doesn't sound like a pleasure cruise.
No, but they took a much easier route, and we already have mapped out the route. So when she just told us what it is, we actually know the route she's talking about. Actually, I think I sent that to you already. And by the way, she already has a waitress job here, despite she's only been here 6 weeks, because after you've been here in Tapachula for 1 month, you can get a job in Chiapas State. It's the state of Chiapas, as long as you don't leave the state of Chiapas.
All right, so we now have a Tapachula filling up with new migrants who could be coming from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador, the Northern Triangle, or they could be coming from the Darien Gap. You're there to follow up on a young Haitian family who made this journey weeks ago, and you haven't met with them yet. Michael, I'm curious about what it is that the migrants believe is ahead of them. What do they say about reaching the Mexican border and about their plans? Do they imagine they're going to be in St. Louis soon? Something like that.
The Haitians that we're tracking, we first met them in, when was it, early March, right? Down in Nicocli in Colombia. And they're about two blocks from us now. We haven't actually physically met with them today. We're going to meet with them later tonight. So we've just been chatting a lot since I think it was early March, right?
Yes.
They've been, they've had one heck of a journey through Nicaragua and a lot of stories.
What about the young Cuban woman who was your waitress? Where is she going in America? Did she describe what her plans are, or is she going to stay in Mexico? Do you know?
No, she wants to go to the United States. And actually, when we're finished, when I'm finished talking with you, I'll go talk with her more and ask what her actual plans are. But that's clear. And she said verbatim, when Chuck asked her, why did you decide to come? She said, because the border just opened.
Right. She left Cuba.
And so that's it. I mean, the border is open, and so they made a run for it.
Do you know how she left Cuba? Do you know her journey from Cuba to the Colombian coast by boat? Did she describe? She's been on an incredible, I mean, nothing simple about her life. Has she described how she did it?
Not yet, because this restaurant is full, so she's waiting on everybody, but we're
right.
Going to get her number and try to get with her and her husband to get the whole details down. Exactly where did you start from in Cuba? How did you get to Colombia? Because she went through Colombia same way we did, and then finally got on the boat and went to Darien Gap in Bajo Chiquito and finally ended up here.
All right.
She was very surprised. We knew where Bajo Chiquito was or even heard of it, but she actually said Bajo Chiquito. And Chuck said, yes, we were just there.
I know. It's clearly the meeting place for all the well-informed people, Michael. That's why from now on, you're going to have to emphasize Michael Yan from Bajo Chiquito. Michael, another detail. What is the town of Tapachula look like? Describe the city that you're in.
Well, I'm looking at it now. They have phone booths that are not destroyed, unlike, say, Portland. And, it's not the nicest city in the world, but it's certainly not a village. I mean, there's, red lights and there's restaurants open everywhere. The hotel that we checked into is meager but clean. It's $25 a night and worth probably $26. I mean, it's worth it. It's clean. But it's not a place you would come to on vacation. But it's certainly not a place that it's not like going to some of these towns I go to in a place like India or
right.
Or say,
what about the authorities? Is there a police presence or an army presence? This is a border with the migrants. Is there any attempt to filter the migrants?
Definitely. And there's police with rifles and that sort of thing. And also we see a lot of graffiti from Antifa types. And we've asked quite a bit about that. There's some new variant called Normalistas, and we're going to find out more about them. But that's just graffiti we just came across. They clearly attacked one of the toll booths that we went through, and we stopped while people were waiting behind us in the toll booth, and we're asking, like, what happened here? It looks like you just got attacked, and they did a couple of weeks ago.
Attacked by
and,
what? For what? For why? Why attack? You're talking about the driving to Tapachula, and you came through a toll booth that was attacked?
Yeah, it was not attacked when we were there previously, and we could see the signs of it. And actually, as you know, Chiapas State, we're in Chiapas State. This was, the scene of a serious war within, the Zapatistas and whatnot, which is, pretty much abated now. But what they're telling us is that there's some of the young ones want to reinvigorate something like Zapatistas. But we see a lot of, feminist-type graffiti, the sort that I see in whether it's Washington, D.C. or Portland or San Francisco, Los Angeles, it's the same graffiti, but it's in Spanish.
So Tapachula is a rough town. Where are the migrants in Tapachula? Are they paying $25 a night? Where are they sleeping?
No, they're paying $2 to $3 a night. We already know, one of their hotels is right beside ours, and theirs is $2 or $3, depending on which room they get. So, and then the others do sleep outside. when we showed up to this restaurant, there was a table full of Haitians that were drinking a whole table full of beer. Every inch of the table was filled with empty beer bottles. So somebody's got some money.
And so you see Haitians. Do you see other people that you recognize? Do you see any Nepalese? What about the Nepal man that you've been tracking?
Interestingly, I can't raise him. It looks like his Facebook has gone offline. It's not even there. And he lost his phone in one of the rivers when he was coming through Darien Gap, so I haven't been able to raise him at all. So I don't know about him. And I spent a year in Nepal and almost a year in India, so I can spot them instantly. And I haven't seen any Nepalese here yet or Indians to my knowledge. But if I do, I'm going to go right to them.
All right, Michael. We will talk again when you have more information about Tapachula in the next 24 hours. Michael Yan is just arrived in Tapachula, Mexico, the southernmost town. When you cross into Mexico, between Tapachula and Texas is just highway. That's what's that for the migrants who make it to Tapachula. Michael, the rain has stopped. Jan has his assignment. We will talk to him again. He solved one mystery of how the Cubans arrived in Bayo Chiquita without being beaten up the way some of the other people do when they come out of the jungle. This is the story of the migrants coming through the Darien Gap, and I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.